The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Dave Kellner, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. We have three meetings in the afternoon, jumping at Carlisle and Wincanton, and all with the racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. We'll finish the day with an evening fixture on the poly track at Kempton, so four meetings to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Ben Bramley. How are you, Ben?
Good day to you, Matt. Yes, I'm in fine fettle, thank you. Really looking forward to the rest of this evening's racing. But more importantly, looking ahead to the Cheltenham Festival next week. It's that time where all our dreams are alive in terms of potential anti-post investments. I don't think there's any more exciting time in horse racing, is there?
I would agree. I don't think there is.
I suppose the exception is when that tape goes up on the Tuesday, but that is the culmination of the build-up, really. The anticipation now over the next week or so, I think it's unrivaled in this sport, personally.
Yeah, you've spent weeks and months in some cases following horses that you think will be aimed at the festival, and if you're holding a ticket that the dream is still alive, like I say, when that tape goes up on Tuesday, there's the famous Cheltenham Roar, and everyone's dreams are still alive.
It can work both ways, Mark, can't it? You know, we had the news on Tuesday around My Tent or Yours and the prick foot, and you can get, if you've been back in that, if you've been keen on that since the Supreme last year, you're on the wrong side of a bet now, because it's at the same kind of price now as it was this time last year. But you know, conversely, those that have backed the new one at prices like 8-1 that now see it round about the 5-2 mark are on the other side of that particular sword. But it's where all your investments, you can pour through your wallet, you can pour through your online betting file to see what you've got, and you've got that hope that you'll land the big one, haven't you? So there's no better time.
No. And we're going to look ahead to some of the races as well. In fact, Ben is going to give us a selection for each day in a Lucky 15 style. Are you confident with these, Ben?
Well, not confident. I don't think you can ever be confident, Mark, when it comes to Cheltenham Festival. But what you can be is optimistic, can't you? And you think, you know, the odds that you're getting on these kind of horses, if they drop in, then you know you're going to be amply rewarded. So I've titled it a life-changing Lucky 15 just for myself here, because they're all pretty decent prices. If you get a couple of winners, it'd make for a nice double. If you drop on all four, it would be magnificent. Very hard to do, as we know, when it comes to Cheltenham, but that optimism and that excitement of just trying to find them is as good as anything else for me.
Okay, good stuff. We are non-runner money back on all four championship races as well at the moment, so if you want to have a bet on them now, you won't lose your stake should your horse not run, which is good news. But let's see what races Ben wants to look at then. We'll start with the Tuesday, Ben, and we'll go through to the Friday. And which race are you starting with on Tuesday for us?
I'm going to start with the Supreme, but just to take up your point there, if you did like My Tent or Yours, that's the real benefit of the non-runner money-back concession there, isn't it? Non-runner, no bet, that you can take a view on that and you haven't done your dough in the championship races if My Tent or Yours doesn't line up. But I'm going to have a little look at this Supreme, I think, Mark, to kickstart the action. Well, what's the betting at the moment?
Irving is the 5-2 market leader. Vator is 3-1. Wicklow Brave 13-2. Vanitor is 12-1. Gilgamboa is 16 with Jossie's Hill and the Liquidator and Valsor Lido. It's then 18-1 for Western Boy, and then 25-1 or bigger price as the rest.
I don't think there's a huge amount of depth in this race. You know, when you go through those names there, and you're getting down to the likes of Jossie's Hill, for whom there's very little support at the moment. You know, he's drifting out all the time. It looks like Vanito could be Nicky Henderson's number one. That I think we need to be focusing towards the top of the market. I'm not entirely taken with Irving so far. I know he was really impressive in the Dovecote last time out, but I'm not quite sure about his gait. Even though he travels really well in a race, I'm not sure what he's going to be like when somebody puts it up to him in a scrap. And you've got to be exceptional, haven't you, to win this race on the snaff. And then you come to the real conundrum for me, which is the Voteur versus Wicklow Brave thing, whereby it looked like Wicklow Brave could be the stable first choice last week when he was backed and Voteur drifted for a period of time. Yep. I think we've got to the point now where Wicklow Brave, there's very little between these two horses. Wicklow Brave, really impressive, beating Lieutenant Colonel last time out. Didn't jump particularly fluently, but I've got a view that that could just be the better of those two Mullins novices. I'm not sure they're entirely convinced which is the better out of the two.
Yeah.
And when you look at the comparative prices there, I think Wicklow Brave represents reasonable value. Around about 13-2, you say?
Yes.
I think it's a fair old bet. It's going for the race, isn't it? You talk about the horses that are beyond that in the betting. I don't think there are any superstars beyond it. I think the only superstars in this race potentially are those at the top of the market. And this one is completely unexposed. Just needs to brush up his jumping. I think he offers fair value around about the 13-2 mark.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I was going to say, what do you make of Wicklow Brave had you not spoken about it? Because I do pretty much see it between the two Willie Mullins runners. And I like the fact that Wicklow Brave's only had a couple of starts over hurdles. Like I say, he needs to brush up his jumping a little bit. But the form of that last run, when he beat Lieutenant Colonel and Real Steel was back in third, that form has been franked by Real Steel a couple of Sundays ago.
Yeah, I saw Real Steel at Punchestown last year. A really good-looking horse, Real Steel. It went unbacked by me a couple of weeks ago, which I regret. Lieutenant Colonel is a well-regarded horse that runs in the Neptune as well. So I think it's solid form, you know.
Yep.
It travelled into contention beautifully. It wasn't fluent over the last couple there, Wicklow Brave. And, you know, you need to get good jumps, particularly at that last flight, don't you? You need to have the momentum, which is my real worry about this horse. But that's overridden by the class element that I think this horse has got. So I would certainly take it. Are you an Irving man yourself as well or not? What's your view on Irving?
My view on Irving is, he's unbeaten. And yes, he looked very good in the Dovecot, like you say. But I just don't think he's had a real test yet. And I suppose you could say the same about Wicklow Brave as well. He canters into the race and looks very comfortable.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if those two had a scrap, who would come out on top, because we haven't seen either of them prove that they're determined up a hill and in a scrap.
I'd take a pair of W's in that race, by the way, Mark, because Western Boy is interesting for Pat Fahey. He was beaten by Vautour, but he travelled really well in his race as well. And when you look at the relative prices of the horses, there should be very little between these. Pat Fahey is ultra shrewd. He's bringing up Morning Assembly as well, isn't he, of course, for the RSA. I think he's a decent kind of price, Western Boy. What sort of price is he?
18-1.
I think he's of interest, and he would be my second in this race, but I'm prepared to go with Wicklow Brave. Keep an eye on the market, because what you might get is an Irish Swamp for Vautour, and then you'll get Wicklow Brave at an even more inflated price potentially. Yeah. I think there's very little between them, so I'm prepared to take him at 13-2. That would be the one to kickstart the bidding, I think, Mark.
Yep, I think the Ruby Walsh factor will be significant when it comes to the betting. Whichever he gets on is obviously going to shorten
hugely. So
Irish money.
Yeah, that's a serious thing, isn't it? You know, we've been to Cheltenham before, and people do genuinely, you have to go there to experience it, where people do come over with wads of cash. I've seen a bloke that's put his entire stash on the first race and had to go home after the first race, genuinely. Now, clearly we're not encouraging anybody to do that by any means, but I'm only using that as an indicator of how people's mentality sometimes is when they come over to bet these horses.
Yeah.
And that's why you get horses at the top of the market, which allows some others to go off at an inflated price. So, and that might be what happens in the Supreme. You know, I'm sure there'll be big money, England versus Irish class, Irving versus Vautour, but Wicklow Brave, dangerous floater, and that's the one that's carrying my pennies.
Okay, Wicklow Brave then to kick us off on the Tuesday. We'll move on to Wednesday, Ben. Which race is the one on the shortlist here?
Well, this isn't one of the higher profile races in truth, but it's the Fred Winter Juvenile there. Do you have the latest betting for that little event?
Yes. Dowalan is the 6-1 favourite. Guitar Pete is 12-1, sorry. Ivan Grozny 12s as well. Abyssial is 14-1 with Gitanda Belair. Cat Gary is 14-1. Pearl Castle also 14s. Seabeat, the last of the 14-1 runners. Then it's 16-1 for Adriana Desmottes. Blue Hell and Carry On Sydney. Godago and Goodwood Mirage and Lindenhurst, in fact a whole host of them after that, are 16-1, but you get the idea. It's 6-1 for Dowalan and then double figure prices the rest.
Yeah, I don't think you got down to as far as mine then. There's a lot of those at the top of the market that will be going for the Triumph or other races or won't actually be running, Mark, isn't there? There's one that really catches my eye further down. Azza, A-Z-Z-A. Can you find that? I think it's around about a 25-1 chance.
It is 25, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Martin Pipe, David Pipe, of course, has a terrific record in this race since its inception. Let me just find this here. He's had any number of runners, Gaspara being one that have been targeted at this race. I think his last 10 runners, he's had a winner and four place from his last 10 runners, which is a really interesting stat in the first instance. He's a race he certainly targets. as I ran in that grade two behind Royal Irish Hussar and Guitar Pete, Guitar Pete, of course, winning the spring juvenile hurdle at Leopardstown, has boosted the form. It struck me as a race. It hasn't been seen on the track since, which would help to frame a mark for this particular horse. It's been given a rating of 129, which is just about the right sort of number that you need to oblige. You want to be around about the mid-120s. You certainly don't want to be any higher than 133, because I don't think a horse has won from that lofty perch in the past. Another stat that I like about this, I think that five of the runnings have been won by fillies from a very small representation. I think there's only been about 20 fillies out of the 200 and odd runners in this race so far. So clearly it is a race for the fairer sex. The fact that David Pipe does have such an excellent record in this race is leading me towards it as well. Just give you more details on those. The winner is Gaspara, 2 seconds Ashkazar and Notice de la Tour, a third in Lostrabad and a fourth in Kazillion, and that's a 5-year span from 2007 onwards. I think it's hugely intriguing that he's only got one entry in a race that's got 60 odd entered at the point of going to press. The mare stat, the fact that I don't mind that line given a quiet spin when it was well fancied behind Royal Irish Hussar and Guitar Pete, two of the fancied horses for the Triumph Hurdle, and in a race where it pays to take a bit of a punt, you know, I do like this horse round about the 25 to 1. So this is hugely speculative. This horse could be anything or nothing, but as we're talking a life-changing lucky 15 for myself, I'm going to pray that it's anything rather than nothing.
Okay, I like it. Good theory there. The fact that David Pipe's only got one in there, and you've gone into the mare stats as well. That's
yeah, I mean, that's from Paul Jones's book. Of course, we did the Paul Jones CD, the Cheltenham Festival Betting Guide 2014. I encourage anybody to pick up a copy of that if they can, because that's loaded with similar stats. You know, you can read this for hours, and you go through the depth and look at the kind of things like that that hugely intrigue you. And then you've got patterns there. The fact that he has targeted this race. You remember Gaspara, I think that was the last horse to win the Imperial Cup and at Cheltenham to follow up in that Cheltenham, right,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
So it's clearly a race with which he's built up an affinity very quickly, and I think it's an interesting one at a price. Have you any view on the race? I know it's not a race that people will have looked at in great depth at the moment, in all likelihood.
Well, yeah, to be fair, I haven't looked at it too much. I think Abyssal was interesting on its Irish form. At a double figure price, but I couldn't really recommend it. I haven't properly trolled into the form there, but it was one that caught my eye the other day.
No, I wouldn't put you off that. I think Abyssal and Gitane de Berlay, I'm not sure. I think Abyssal might be heading for the Triumph Hurdle.
Yeah,
again, you get a lot of talk around this time of year with these the preview nights and what have you. I know Abyssal was muted to be going for the Triumph Hurdle, but we shall see. I think it could be one to keep your powder dry till near the day, with it not being non-runner, no bet on those races. Perhaps that's one just to leave alone for the time being, but as there isn't, I'd give that a whirl. Quite encouraged. I think that's got a bit of a squig.
Okay, good. Right, the Thursday of the festival then, the big race on that day is the World Hurdle, of course, and a tremendous renewal of that race this year. Which race are you looking at there?
Well, the World Hurdle is the race, isn't it? There's two races at the Cheltenham Festival, Matt, this year that really float my boat. The Champion Hurdle, I'm hoping that my tent or yours lines up, and the other one is the World Hurdle. I think we were looking at the betting before we went on air here, weren't we? And the fact that Annie Power has now comprehensively usurped Big Bucks at the head of the market, it's going to be intriguing as to what sort of price these horses go off now, isn't it?
Yes, Annie Power 15-8 at the moment, 9-4 for Big Bucks at Fisher's Cross, 13-2, and then bigger prices, the remaining runners. Very intriguing betting so far in that race. But
this is the classic battle on which the entire Cheltenham Festival is founded. You know, you've got Big Bucks, who's a multiple champion, who's looking to have his crown. It's not his crown, because of course he didn't win it, but it is his crown really, because he didn't lose it on the racetrack, did he? Against a super mare that will be getting £7 and will be carrying wads of cash for Ireland. That is a great race, isn't it? No question. But where I'm going, I'm quite keen on this Potemps Hurdle, you know, the Potemps Network Final. I think there's about 20 that will line up for that. And all the money in the last week or so has been for Fingal Bay. I think that heads the market, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, it's joint favourite with If in Doubt, both of those two, 8-1. Inishmeen is, or Inishman is 12-1. 14-1 for Buddy Bolero, Champagne West, Jossie's Orders, and Upswing. Jetson 16s with Seafood, Thunder and Roses, Topwood, Trackmate, Tullyesca Hill, Uncle Jimmy. And it's 20-1 or bigger prices the rest after that.
Yeah, I know you do get upsets in this race, but I think one of the biggest Cheltenham eye catchers pre-meeting was this If in Doubt at Exeter. It did run behind the winner there, which was the top weight, of course, Fingal Bay. But if you watch that race all the way up the straight, Tom O'Brien didn't put a whip on that horse at all. You know, it was ridden. You know, obviously it was trying its best, but it didn't get maximum shillelagh, you might say there, Mark. It's risen to a mark of 140 on the back of it. I'd almost say you've got a winner without a penalty there in the shape of If in Doubt. If you look at its form before that, it was 6 lengths second to Sapphire de Roy at Kempton when AP McCoy was in the saddle. It had scored before that at Toaster with James Best in the saddle. I would expect AP to be back in the saddle on Thursday for the Potemps. I know it's a hugely competitive race, but one thing about this race is it does have less runners than the Coral Cup, for example, or some of the other really competitive handicaps. I think it's capped at around 20. So even though it's a relatively short price at the moment, this If in Doubt, it was the mother of all eye catches at Exeter last time out. I think it'll reverse the form with Fingal Bay, who has the bounce potential, of course, having been off the track for some time. And I make this a decent bet for the handicaps here, If in Doubt, at 8-1. So that'll be my third leg, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty useful as well. Yeah, like I say, eye-catching last time. And the form behind Sapphire de Roo has been boosted no end since, hasn't it?
Yeah,
until,
definitely.
Until last time, of course, when he bombed out. But
yeah, Sapphire de Roo is a good horse in its own right. And when you look at it, I think Caliph Aramis has gone on to win since, hasn't it? When you look at a race like that, you've kind of got to read between the lines. One thing that we've all become hooked up in the last couple of years is some of these McManus horses have been overbet, the likes of Cantlow and Colour Squadron, who seem to have had relatively tender build-ups. And they're overbet, but I think this one, it was such an eye catcher last time that I'm prepared to take prices round about 8-1. I just think it's got so much more to give, If in Doubt. Hugely scopy individual, and the Potemps could be its race. The same owner, of course, had Shut the Front Door that finished placed in it last year, looking to go 3 places better this year with If in Doubt. He's won it before at huge prices, I think, in the past. I think Creon may have won this race at 50-1 from memory, and I'm expecting If in Doubt to run a huge race on Thursday.
Okay, If in Doubt then, the selection for Thursday. Moving on to Friday, Gold Cup Day, the final day of the festival, and which race are you going for on the Friday?
I'm going for the Triumph, I think, Mark. This was the first anti-post bet that I had, and I lost the faith. I've regained the faith. You know when you have anti-post bets and you see it perform badly and you scrumple your ticket up and you think that's it, gone. Well, this horse is exactly that. Royal Irish Hussar in the Triumph Hurdle. What's the betting at the moment for it?
Calypto is the 5-1 favourite. La Rochere is 6-1. Activial 10s with Guitar Pete, and it's 12-1 for Broughton. Tiger Roll is also 12s. Pearl Castle, Royal Irish Hussar, Ruther Glen, all 14-1. 16s for Guitar de Belay, Ivan Grozny, and it's 20s or bigger the rest.
Yeah, Royal Irish Hussar, it won a Grade 2, I think we mentioned it in the earlier preview, in which Azza was third, beating Guitar Pete by 3¾ lengths. You watched that race back, Mark, and it was really impressive how it powered up the hill. It missed the last. It's not the most fluent of jumpers, but look at the distance it puts between itself and Guitar Pete after the last. Now, I take on board that Guitar Pete has improved since then to go on to win a Grade 1 at Leopardstown, but that was a mighty eye-catching performance. The handicapper gave him a mark of 147, which is pretty lofty in terms of Triumph Hurdle. It ran really disappointingly less than a month later when it was beaten behind Fox Norton and Broughton at Doncaster. Now, you've got to be a fairly forgiving soul, and thankfully I am, because I don't think that was his running at all. And if you come back to that race at Guitar Pete, when he destroyed Guitar Pete, dismissed him, not destroyed, that would be the wrong word. I think this horse has a real sniff in this race. He's come back to be at the fore of Nicky Henderson's Juveniles, of course, who's won this times in the past. Soldatino, I think, would be the last instance of him winning this race. I think this horse is of huge interest. The market started to speak in favour of him again. I've got renewed optimism around my earlier anti-post bet. I backed him at 16s in November. He's 16s now, isn't he? 14s now. Yeah, so I've got no edge on the bet whatsoever, but I'm thinking now he's got a sniff again. So Royal Irish Hussar in the Triumph. Have you got a strong view in that race?
Yeah, I like Calypto at the top of the betting. I think he's pretty solid, and I can see why he's favourite after his performance at Kempton, and I quite like him, and it's...
Calypto's interesting because I was at Newbury when it won that day, and Paul Nicholls' quote immediately after was that that was the strongest juvenile hurdle that's been run this season. And I thought, I took that with a huge pinch of salt. But when you look at the form there, you know, Baradari has gone on to be a useful horse. Dowerland, we now see at the top of the betting for the Fred Winter. Activial, of course, came out and won the Adonis at Kempton. So the form is rock solid, isn't it? No question. And Calypto went on to beat Elders as well, time after that at Newbury. So I can see where that's coming from. I was too quick to dismiss that horse, I think, when it had won, or the comment from Paul Nicholls when it had won, because it could be backed at 16s then. But yeah, you can see that, can't you? You see where Calypto deserved to be at the head of the market.
Yeah, and like I say, against the older horses and more experienced horses last time, travelled supremely well through that race, and then stayed on under pressure a little bit to, after the final fence. And you obviously need that at Cheltenham. You need to be able to stay on up the hill. And yeah, I thought it was quite useful.
My only nagging doubt about that, Matt, would be the fact that Paul Nicholls did say it's more of a chasing type, you know. Every year, around about December, January, we talk about heavy, soft ground festivals. And then the week before or a few days before, we're talking about getting the watering can out. So with this race being run on the Friday as well, you expect them to produce good to soft. That is the order, isn't it? To produce good to soft ground on the Tuesday, which can quicken up. It didn't last year because we had a mighty deluge on the Friday, didn't we? But there's every chance of getting quicker ground back end of the week, and I'm not sure with his breeding that he will be ideally suited to it. Whereas my selection, Royal Irish Azar by Galileo out of a Darsham mare, really wants rattling fast ground, and I think might even improve further for it. So that's why I'd rather take Royal Irish Azar at just over double the price of Calypto, I think.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And the Triumph was a funny race for me this year, because this time last year I was all over
Our Connor,
and obviously followed it throughout the season and didn't really see anything to put me off. This year it's taken till probably a month ago before I actually saw something I quite liked for the Triumph. So it's interesting that you had Royal Irish Azar on the shortlist way before that.
Yeah,
it was one race that I couldn't really find a proper angle on until about a month ago.
Well, I think a lot of people with Our Connor and its last two spins in Ireland, where it recorded exceptional times. I don't subscribe to the theory that you have to wait till after Christmas for a Triumph hurdle bet, you know, because when you look, it's like the races like the Adonis in which one can come out and win it. But if a horse puts down its marker in the way that Royal Irish Azar did in November and Guitar Pete, that is solid Cheltenham form, isn't it? Yeah. You know both of those horses are going to act on the track and the prevailing conditions. And I think we make assumptions round about that time of year that a superstar is going to come out. Clearly Our Connor did, but don't forget that didn't go off favourite last year, did it?
No, it drifted on course.
Markedly on course. I think it was the Nichols Far West. That's right. Yeah, Far West went off favourite in the race. So, yeah, they don't always spring out the ground. Our Connor was an exception last year and an exceptionally good winner. There doesn't appear to be a huge standout in this year's race, which is why I think that rating of 147, which is a couple of pounds inferior to what La Roche has been put on at 149, will make him mighty competitive. 143 now, Royal Irish Azar, by the way.
Okay. Well, that gives us the lucky 15 then for the 4 days, and you called it a life-changing lucky 15. If the fourfold part of it came up, it would be life-changing, because it pays 26,324 to 1 for the fourfold.
Well, listen, I'm sure the listeners out there will have and they're likely to do better than me, but that's what it's all about, Mark, isn't it? The fact that I've just piped that into the computer now, and those are the odds for the fourfold. So a quid lucky 15 there. You're talking 50 grand, aren't you, when you combine all your multis there as well. So it's just nice to have that dream, isn't it? So I've laid out 15 quid if they were all to drop in. Highly unlikely, I know, but just to have that little sense at night when you go to sleep that if these four dropped in, that'd be it, wouldn't it? It'd be the highlight of your betting career. So just to recap them, Wicklow Brave in the Supreme Novices Hurdle would be the selection on the Tuesday. The darkest of the dark would be Azza in the Fred Winter Juvenile Handicap Hurdle on the Wednesday. Heading on to the Thursday, this one a shorter price than the preceding one, if in doubt, round about the 8-1 mark in the Potemps Final. And Royal Irish Azar to cap it off in the Triumph Hurdle. That'd certainly do it for me.
Good stuff. Hope that's got your festival juices flowing, because it's only a matter of days away now, and we'll soon be talking about Cheltenham being on the day, and I can't wait for that. But we must move on, Ben, to some racing a bit closer to hand. And you are going to go to Carlisle for some of the racing on Thursday.
I am. I'm just going to have a little peep at this this Carlisle card. It doesn't quite whet the appetite in the same way as Cheltenham does, but it's still competitive fare. You know what you're going to get from Carlisle at this time of year, don't you, Mark? It's pretty heavy ground there. We've seen it right throughout the winter, and it's certainly not abated for this particular card here. It's almost like a greyhound card, isn't it? There seems to be a series of six-horse races here. One that we're looking at is the 345. Tony McCoy's got a couple of rides, incidentally. He's coming up to ride Allied Answer. And also in the last race, he's riding one for Alan Swinbank, Bob's Lord Tara. And we saw him come up to Newcastle to ride Stonebrook. So he certainly hasn't lost his appetite, AP. You talk to him every Saturday, don't you? And he's still got that thirst, hasn't he?
Oh, he has, yes. He'll travel all over the country. I mean, he stays for horses in the last as well, which you wouldn't necessarily need to do in some cases. And I spoke to him the other week, and he says once he'd finished preview, he goes, right, I've got to go lose some weight now so I can ride this. And it's
incredible, because he wasn't jocked up for this one in the last race at Carlisle originally. He was jocked up for something else, but he's now moved on to the horse of Alan Swinbanks. If we look to the actual card itself here, the 345 Apollo Bet Best Odds Handicap Chase. Clover Hill Lad is interesting. This is a much improved horse this year. Clover Hill Lad did fall last time out behind Divine Intervention, was beaten at the time, modest fourth, but had shown good form behind that, second to Messina, who's incredibly well handicapped at Weatherby, and prior to that did win at Newcastle by 2.25 lengths from Dancing Art. Now finds itself £4 higher than that, which is a pretty reasonable mark, isn't it? You would think that Clover Hill Lad would be competitive in this 0-120, which is really only a 0-120 in name, Mark. The top weight is 115 horse, 112 the second in Prosecco, the third in Gold Signet is at 109, and then you're down to Clover Hill Lad 106, so it's not the best 0-120 you'll ever see. So the other one that I would take in the race would be Edmund, a horse of Anne Hamilton, who likes a winner at Carlisle, second last time out to Indian Voyage at the same track on heavy ground, so proven acts on the prevailing conditions there, the 7-year-old gelding here, and did run a decent race in beaten 9 lengths by Indian Voyage, and finds itself on the same mark. So if you're looking for a mark horse, Edmund would be the one. It did score on its the 21st of December there, didn't it, beating Mumgo's debut at Newcastle, £8 higher than that. I think that's the horse that's guaranteed to give its running here, Edmund, given its second last time out. Clover Hill Lad still probably in pretty reasonable form. I think Prosecco probably prefers better ground than the ground he's going to encounter here, or slightly better ground. He likes it soft but heavy. Question mark there for Prosecco. So for the 3.45, I think I'm going to take Edmund to beat Clover Hill Lad. That's how I'm going to play that race.
Okay, Edmund then in the 3.45. The second race we're going to look at on Thursday is the 4.15, and this is the Apollo Bet free download app Novices Handicap Hurdle, a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And you mentioned that AP McCoy comes up to ride Allied Answer. He's got some stiff competition in the shape of Blake Dean and Hallmark Star. He could stay strong cases for those two. Just Cameron wouldn't be completely out of it. I suppose Guard V would be a bit of a surprise winner. But quite a competitive race to say there's only 5 runners.
Yeah, you'd say that, Mark. It is competitive fair, isn't it? Allied Answer ran in a really warm novice race last time behind First Mohican. First Mohican bombed out, I suppose, in the Dovecote, didn't he, behind Irving. And there didn't appear to be any excuses there. But when you talk about novice hurdles, you're talking about a different level than what Allied Answer is going to encounter here. Again, you're talking 0-120 company, almost in name only, because Allied Answer himself is a 116 performer. Just Cameron 113, Hallmark Star 108, and Blake Dean, who could be the interesting one there for Sue Smith and Ryan Mania, who's a really progressive horse this year and definitely acts on the prevailing conditions here. Going up the handicap, but it's only going up the handicap because it's improving run by run. Look at this little sequence it's put together in its last 5 runs. First, second, second, first, second. Those wins, a comprehensive defeat of My Nosy Rosie at Uttoxeter on soft ground. And at Newcastle, just managed to beat Simon Templar by a nose, so showed admirable battling qualities in doing that. It is higher in the handicap now, up to a mark of 100, but we do know from these Sue Smith horses that when they get into a groove and start to improve, there's no stopping them. So Blake Dean is a really interesting contender. The market will probably be framed around him and Allied Answer, but I think AP McCoy coming up north to ride Allied Answer is pretty much a tip in itself. He's got a good association with Steve Gollins, and I think he's the answer there to that race, Allied Answer.
Okay, Allied Answer in the 4.15, and moving on on to the 4:45. This is a class 4 handicap chase over 3.25 miles. And sixth are in the lineup for this one as well, Ben. A couple of horses in here that seem to run consistently in place positions, but few of them find winning hard nowadays.
That's very much the case, yeah. And again, at the risk of repeating myself, we've got a 0 to 110 here, where the top weight is 109 horse, but the second in is 95. So some of these races at Carlisle on Thursday afternoon, although they are 0 to 120, 0 to 110, again, I'm going to repeat myself in saying name only. So a horse like Cottier's Den, for example, who's rated 77, you normally wouldn't expect to be competitive in a 0 to 110. He is £6 out the handicap, Cottier's Den, but he's interesting for me. It's a horse that I did back at Ayr two runs ago when he was pulled up behind Oil Burner. He was well back there, 20 to 1 into 15 to 2. He didn't run well at all. He did run with more encouragement behind Fozzy Moss last time out. And again, look at that, 11 to 1 into 9 to 2, Cottier's Den. So this is clearly a horse that is held in a lot higher esteem than a 77 horse. He just hasn't yet done it on the track. It's the kind of horse I'd be keen to stick with, though, Mark, I think, Cottier's Den. The money, it's kept coming for him. Will it come for him again? If you want a more solid horse, I'd be looking more in terms of Basford Ben, who was second at Wetherby three runs ago, third behind Fozzy Moss in that same race at Carlisle that the aforementioned was in, and also third behind No Duffer at Warwick. So that's a solid mark horse, I would say, Basford Ben. But Cottier's Den, the dark one, been backed on numerous occasions. Will the money come for him again? If you prefer your class horses, big news, there was a horse that was rated 124, 123. This is a mark dropping class on the back of three poor efforts. Fell behind Renard, pulled up twice at Ludlow behind King Messini and Rum. You couldn't get more contrasting tracks, could you? Ludlow to Carlisle, Carlisle a lot stiffer. So if big news improves for the stiffer track and the longer trip here, 3 mile two, he could outclass these, as on ratings he's simply a better horse. But I'm going to go with Cottier's Den. All that market support, has it been in vain? We'll find out on Thursday. Cottier's Den.
Yeah, interesting to see if the money comes again on Thursday for him.
Hugely, yeah. As I said before, you know, he's out the handicap there. So he's got Wilson Rennick doing the steering. He needs to get into a rhythm early, Mark. I think what we've found from his last couple of spins there is that last time out, not fluent, prominent. He just lost his place because he wasn't jumping well enough to remain in touch. But they don't back them in, do they? 20s to 15 to 2 and 11s to 9 to 2, unless they think they've got a better tool than what he's shown so far. So keep the faith. Coddy is done.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have one quick summary then, Ben, of your Thursday selections, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yep, competitive fare here at Carlisle. We're looking at Edmund in the 3:45 to get the ball rolling there. And then one of two rides for AP McCoy in the 4:15 in the shape of Allied Answer would be the selection. And can I take a nap on this? Probably not, given its profile. 4:45, Cottier's Den, who should be a reasonable price there. So that would be the Thursday Trixie.
Okay, good stuff, Ben. Thank you very much. Good luck with your selections on Thursday. Enjoy the racing at Carlisle, and good luck with that potentially rewarding Lucky 15 at Cheltenham.
Fingers crossed, Mike.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley then. Not too long until we'll be at the Cheltenham Festival, and Thursday's racing as well coming up pretty shortly. So make sure you tune in for that. It'll be live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Dave Kellner, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. Carlisle, Wincanton and Sutherland in the afternoon, Kempton in the evening, and plenty of racing to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.